Thanks for joining us. I'm speaking to Amanda Lacaze, who is the CEO of Linus Corporation. Amanda, it's great to talk to you again.
Happy International Women's Day.
It's an important day, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is an important day. In Malaysia, we have a big, in Linus, we have a big International Women's Day lunch every year. It's got bigger and bigger. From the first year I was there, we only had 50 women. Now we've got 120. And you know what? The blokes say to me, when's International Men's Day? And I just say, the other 364 days of the year.
Yes, well, that's the way it's been for a long time. So it's a great initiative that you're bringing to the operations in Malaysia, because that's a cultural change that would be well needed.
When I first arrived, we had no women working in our operational areas. Today, we have at least two women on each shift crew. And we have female process engineers, we have female shift superintendents. We've not yet got a plant superintendent, but we have one that I see well on the path to get there. And if we're going to get the next generation of executive as women, they have to come up through operations. They cannot do it in pure administrative roles.
Yeah, they need to have like a ground up appreciation for how the business works.
Yeah, and we've done the same thing in Western Australia as well, where we've added women into our metallurgical team and into our operations area as well. So it means that we're able to recruit from a more diverse talent pool, and therefore we should be able to perform better as a company.
Indeed. Now, one thing that's been a bit of a stumbling block for the organisation, unfortunately, has been the regulatory situation as it stands with the Malaysian government. Where are things at the moment on that issue?
So we're positively engaged with the Malaysian government. You need to bear
in
mind...
That's an important point to make, isn't it? That
is
the conversations
really
are not rancorous.
Yes, and I think that an important really thing for Australians to understand, because, yeah, Malaysia can appear a little exotic, but it's the first time there's been a change of government in 61 years. It happened peacefully, right? It is a Westminster democracy, just like ours is, because it's a Commonwealth country. But having said that, the new government, which is a coalition of four different parties, is taking time to find its feet, get its operating rhythm right, all of those sorts of things. And so, you know, even the Prime Minister has made a comment in the last couple of weeks about having everyone in the government understanding that they're now in government, not in opposition, and how does that look and how does that work. So I think as long as we keep talking, we will work through and we will resolve this matter. Because we are an excellent foreign direct investor. We employ 97% of our staff are Malaysians. We buy 80% of our inputs in Malaysia, which means that we're putting a lot of money into the economy and creating a lot of jobs beyond just the jobs which are, you know, directly within our business. So I remain confident that we will resolve this matter. And I think that many of your viewers, many of whom have been patient with us for a long time, so thank you, will have noted that in our half-year accounts we had an emphasis of matter. And I explain this like this, you know, the board, and we cannot lie, right? The board is paid to form a judgment, and we took account of all of the information that we have, and we formed the judgment that we can issue the accounts on a going concern basis. Auditors are actually paid not to make judgments, but to ensure that particular accounting standards are met, and so therefore they put an emphasis of matter in here. But that doesn't change our board judgment that we will resolve this matter and the business will continue to grow.
Indeed. And I suppose from an external perspective, like outside of Malaysia, it's important to know that the rhythms with which these conversations take place can be a little bit different to what you might be accustomed to, say, in Australia.
Yes and no. Our view on this is that this is not so much a message about Malaysia as it is a message about concentration of assets, because frankly, I'm not sure my life would be much easier if I was trying to run a business in Britain at present.
Right.
Or in France.
Yep.
Or any number of other countries. Sovereign risk and political risk in the last decade has changed. I mean, when I'm overseas, people say to me, how come you're on your fifth prime minister in 5 years?
Yeah.
And they see ours as an unstable political environment. So I think that that's more the message around this than anything which is specific to Malaysia.
So there's progress being made in that political conversation. When you look at the broader outlook as far as rare earth metals are concerned, what's the picture looking like there?
Well, very good. I guess I'd like to start with, you know, just drawing out again that despite all of these things swirling around, in our half-year accounts, we reported an increase in production, an increase in revenue run rate, and so an absolute increase in production, even though we only produced for 5 out of 6 months of the year. So absolutely more in a 5 month production period than in the previous 6 months and in the prior corresponding period. On a revenue run rate, well, revenue was ahead of the previous 6 months and on a run rate even ahead of the PCP, even though during that period the market price was 20% higher. And so I'm proud beyond belief of the operating team who have not skipped a beat despite all of this. So the market price has been soft. There is no doubt that the Chinese are a bit more spooked by Trump than we might otherwise think. Our experience, my own experience in China is that I've always loved doing business there because of the optimism.
The pragmatism.
Yes, but they are so proud of what they've achieved over the last 20 years and very optimistic about the future. And this is the first time that I've seen them rather less buoyant.
Right.
And that is because they just don't know what Trump's going to do.
Right.
Right? And so they're just a bit nervy about it. And so I think that that is seeping through into some of the markets. And
how's that reflected in their decision-making?
Oh, so I think there's what people are doing is they're destocking a bit in the in the supply chain, living off inventories a bit, sort of waiting to see how things go. Bear in mind that in China for the first time in 20 years, last quarter, new vehicle sales went backwards.
Right.
EV sales still went forwards, which is really at the core of where our growth is going to come from.
Right.
But that gives you an indication of where it's at. By comparison, the Japanese market is growing strongly. Our key customers are in Japan. Likewise, in North America, we've got significant growth as well as in Northern Europe. So, in any market, you know, you can have back, you know, sort of toing and froing on a quarterly or a 6 monthly basis. But our view is that the growth thesis remains strong and unimpeded.
Now, what stands out is that even though you've been challenged on a number of fronts, you're still focused on growth, and that's reflected in your initiative in relation to Next. Tell people a little bit more about that.
Oh, well, we're just delighted with Next. And, you know, it's really funny. And once again, many of your viewers have been long-term holders. I was in Japan a couple of weeks ago and with my head of sales, and he was talking to one of our customers, and he was talking about the fact that he worked in Linus from 2010, yeah, so right through the construction period. And he said, no, I remember I used to come every quarter and I'd say, this is the quarter we're going to finish the build, or this is the quarter we're going to start producing. And we always underperformed and underdelivered. With Linus Next, we told the market that we would be able to produce 600 tonnes a month of NdPr from January 2019. We actually produced it in September 2018 and again in October 2018. So for the first time we had a project which came in before time and actually under budget as well. And so Paul in particular, after all of those years, was very excited about that. And Once again, I'm proud of Punch. It was engineered by our internal teams. We didn't pay, you know, sort of an external firm a gazillion dollars to do the work. We took our best people out of their day jobs, put them in a project team, and then backfilled those jobs. And that meant that we were designing the equipment, but it was being designed by people who actually operated it, and so they were able to make best possible decisions. So the other thing which was important as part of that was that we are now separating 25% of our NDPR into ND and PR. And so that's been done successfully as well, and we've started making first sales of both of those products. So we're pretty pleased.
Amanda, we could talk for a lot longer, but thanks for covering off on those really important points. And again, happy International Women's Day.
Thanks, Tom.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.